B-Pod Studios.
Sports Talk. Now, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mahomes takes the snap. He's just going to throw it long for DeMarcus Robinson. It is going to use up all the time. The game is over. The Kansas City Chiefs are champions of Super Bowl 54. Final score, Kansas City 31, San Francisco 20. And Chiefs Kingdom, get ready to welcome your champions.
Nearly 150 million Americans were watching the Super Bowl on Sunday night. Dan Shaughnessy, you were one of them, right?
Yes.
What'd you make of this game? What'd you make of Jimmy Garoppolo?
Makes me glad. I would have bet the Niners. I thought they would win. I thought they were the more complete team. And for three quarters, I was right. Very smug about it. There you go. I'm interested, like, particularly you, Zoe, like, just the blame pie on the Garoppolo Shanahan thing in the fourth. And I mean, some of the Shanahan numbers, if you assign
60-40, I'd put the blame of this game 60% on the head coach, 40% on the quarterback.
Okay, well, there you go.
Give more to the head coach because he is the head coach. You know, you're the one calling the plays, because to me it doesn't look like he ever has the ability to check out of anything,
right?
Because how quickly and efficiently it is run. Like, he gets up there, there's not a lot of looking around. You know, we see it with Brady will step up. He'll read it and direct three more. Yep. Make a sign out to one of the guys there. Give a sign over here. Readjust the back. None of that from Jimmy.
No.
Jimmy's right under center, staring at the play clock. Guy goes in motion. Okay, go. And it's just, it's fluid. It's effective. It got him there. I think the head coach is going to be a very good regular season head coach. His two gaffes in the Super Bowl, no other coach will ever top. The two collapses at this play call.
It's 46-0 in the fourth.
46-0, final 10 minutes of a Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's a hard one.
I mean, that's not 10-0.
Right.
46-0.
Well, it felt like the play calling was worse in the Falcon game than in this one, to me, where they took themselves out of field goal range. When they could have iced the game in the Falcon Patriot game. This thing, I just, unable to close the deal. No confidence in the quarterback. It was just disappointing.
That's a sad. In-game adjustment, lacking confidence in your quarterback, when you look across the way and you could tell that, oh, number 15's off tonight. He's a little skittish. Yeah. He's not seeing things real well. Our two end guys are getting upfield. We're putting pressure on him. We've eliminated the big home run pass. Kelce non-factor. Hill non-factor till late. He should open it up a little more. You know, react to them. You know, they're not going to give him any three and outs. When they do, Jesus.
The critical completion on the 3rd and 15, who was that, Hill?
Yeah, and it happened to us before.
How did he get that open?
Speed. What they do is they go trips to one side, and they run. One guy runs a comeback to the outside, and they run two deep drag posts across. And at the last minute, Hill breaks out to one side. They did it to us right in front of Daron Harmon. Same thing. I think that was 3rd and 20. Same damn play. They have a name for that. Wasp. It stings you. Yeah, they got stung. But, I mean, the throw to Watkins, hell of a throw.
Yeah.
But Jimmy had his chances. Beetle was there. He saw it in live time. The missed throw on the deep post. He got too excited. He stepped up three times into that one, let that sucker fly. Man, he hits that. It's a different ball game. Talking about him differently, looking at him differently. The whole setup was there. This is where Joe Montana led the comeback and hit you know, John Taylor in the same end zone, in the same stadium, in the same uniform.
Dan, a big question now is, are the Kansas City Chiefs, now that they've won, they've gotten over that hump, they were this close to being in the Super Bowl a year ago when the Patriots came back and beat them. Thank you, D. Ford. They now get back there and win it the following year. You know, I think there's something extra for Kansas City being able to actually do that. To have a very disappointing ending a year ago. Come back, get to the AFC title game, have all their comeback wins in the playoffs, get to the Super Bowl and have another comeback win. To be able to sort of rebound and respond to the way they went out the previous year and come back and win it, does that mean they've established themselves as the team to beat in the AFC? I guess for the time being, yes. But does it mean that for the Patriots, that's it, it's over, they've got another team in front of them now, and you know what, everyone's just going to have to go through Kansas City?
I think Patriot fans don't feel that way, and I understand why, because the Patriots are built to win now, and I think, you know, kind of the lean toward Brady maybe coming back feels stronger now. You know, Bill being down there, all that stuff, that there's hope. Kansas City's, they're the kingpins right now. And Baltimore's, I'm not quick to dismiss them. But I think that when does the bill come due on Mahomes, and when does that affect their roster building?
It doesn't have to come due until another year.
So, okay.
Well, but Zoe seems to think they're going to sign him now.
Yeah. I think part of that, too, is you were the league MVP last year. We went on a hell of a run. Hey, man, you got hurt. You came back from that horrific knee injury. Yeah. You sucked it up. You're our MVP. You're the Super Bowl MVP. Let's get the deal done now. And maybe it's only $38 million instead of north of 40, which it's going to be by next year. Yeah.
What do you think David Ortiz would say? Would he say keep him? Or?
And that's where you got to retool things. That's where Pete Carroll learned that when you pay Russell Wilson, you got to blow your defense up. And Pete's built it back somewhat. Credit to Pete for figuring out how to win when you had Wilson on the cheap on that rookie deal. And that's what they're doing right now with Mahomes. But you're going to have to reset some things when he gets paid. Because this isn't baseball. There's a cap.
Well, the Patriots, I still believe the division is theirs in perpetuity. I see, you know, no challenge. I don't think the Bills will be as good.
Okay, if everything stays as is, if you have Matt Lacoste, if you have Edelman, say Dorsett comes back, Sanu, Harry, say Brady comes back with the same cast, which he won't. They're still the leader in a division.
Yeah, absolutely.
They'll still win a division.
On Mahomes and the bill coming due, Mahomes yesterday said, obviously I want to be in Kansas City for a long time. I want to win a lot of football games here. He also sort of deflected saying that he's got a team that handles it. But he says, you know, for me, it's kind of letting that stuff handle itself. I'm in a great organization. I have a great team working for me, talking about his agent, Lee Steinberg, who was on the show last week. And then he continued with this. For me, it's about trusting those people and finding the best way to do it in order to have the best team around me. Ooh. I didn't think his agent enjoyed that comment. What are you doing, kid?
Sounds like here.
Yeah.
This is a big one for Steinberg because he's been out of the loop. And now he's got the best player in football. He's got the best quarterback in football as his client. Like, he's missed on a lot. How did this get past Dave Dunn? How did this get past Don Yee? You're all those guys. You know, Marvin Demoff, the old agent. You know, Buzz Cook. You know, athletes first. There's a lot of big football or quarterback agents out there that didn't get their hands on Mahomes. And maybe there's a baseball relationship through Morehead and his dad, and that's why. Jeff Morehead was in with Dunn and Steinberg way back in the day, and Morehead did a lot of the baseball deals. Wasn't Morehead Manny's agent? I think Jeff Morehead was Manny's agent.
Yeah, he's a very prominent guy, and it's
So if Morehead had Mahomes Sr., then maybe that's how he got tied in with Steinberg. Because okay. Lee's been out of the loop for a long time.
But he's really back in it now. I mean, in a big way.
Big one here for him.
Yeah, I mean, recent guys, you know, that he's had quarterback-wise are not...
Not this kid.
Not like this. He doesn't have any other really big name.
He would get the number one draft pick every year coming out. Lee nailed him for years, and then he had some issues. Detailed quite nicely in the book. And then Dave Dunn took over the whole thing. And everybody went with Dave Dunn. Aikman, Bledsoe, Steve Young, all those guys.
He had Ryan Leaf.
Leaf dog.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, not the type of comment you want to hear if you're the agent. Definitely the type of comment you want to hear if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. And not the type of comment you want to hear if you're a fan of another team. If Patrick Mahomes starts doing what Tom Brady did.
Yeah.
If he does what Brady did for New England, if Mahomes does that for Kansas City.
You mean like a little salary cap circumnavigation there, kind of working your way around?
Or just generally not taking top dollar. not fighting for that last $4 or $5 million every year and over the length of your deal.
That's why you go to him now.
Well, there's no space to rent near Arrowhead Stadium. Can't you make that part of his deal?
All right, what do you do? 8-year deal?
Let's assume that all those accusations of salary cap circumvention are true. What is that really worth monetarily? Not enough to make a dent. It was never about that. It's about guy taking less. Brady always took less.
What about
always?
What
and about they didn't even if everything that they've been accused of with no basis,
right?
There's no basis for the accusation.
Cynicism, suspicion,
right?
You know, what about a piece of the
even
team?
Even if what's it all that, were
what's,
true,
what's a piece of the team worth?
Now there's no way that could happen. There'd be a paper trail. Like there's no way that's going on.
Handshake deal.
It's not going to happen.
Okay.
The guy took less. He took less his entire career. If Mahomes does that, then Kansas City's going to set themselves up nicely. They are. They're going to be in a better position to make mistakes with signings and be able to overcome it. That's really the biggest tool of having extra space, because you can pay your quarterback and still pay all the players you need to pay to be a good team. It's just a matter of, do you have wiggle room to make a bad deal every now and again, which every team is prone to. Every team has made a bad deal. Even the Patriots have made bad deals. Adalis Thomas, not a good deal. They've had bad signings. Everyone does it. It's okay. But if you have extra wiggle room with a good quarterback contract, you can absorb that. You can still take some shots in free agency. 617-779-0985. Tom Brady, by the way, is reportedly set to be offered in excess of $30 million by his team. Let's talk about that as it relates to what we were just talking about. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
One of the biggest stories of this offseason, no doubt, and one of the biggest questions we have been asked walking around here in Miami, where is Tom Brady going to play in the 2020 season? And, of course, he has options. My understanding, Mike, that going back to New England is a legitimate and real option for Brady, obviously, and they are willing to make it worth his while. I'm told they are willing to pay him in excess of $30 million if that, in fact, is what it's going to take to bring Brady back. Would bring him in line with much more of the salaries of the elite quarterbacks for the first time in his career. We'll see if that's enough, because from what I understand, he wants a commitment from them that they will spend specifically on weapons for this office, something they tried to do last year with Antonio Brown, did not work. But let's say that Brady does entertain other options. From what I understand, the Los Angeles Chargers have emerged as a legitimate option for Brady. They're going to be among the teams attempting to make a push for him, and they have everything that he would want, which is a team ready to win right away, and adding him would help. Certainly the Titans potentially be in the mix.
Ian Rappaport on NFL Network saying that the Patriots are prepared to offer Tom Brady something in the range of $30 million. That would be good news for the chances of Tom Brady returning. We talked about the other elements that have been out there. The desire to be appreciated and to be wanted and loved and all those things that we discussed yesterday that Tom Brady is apparently interested in. So if Tom Brady wants those things, you know what it would be for Tom Brady? The love and the appreciation from the coach and also the players around him. Do you know what it would be? It would sort of be consistent with who he is in this way. It's never been just about the money for Tom Brady. It's never been about being a football player who makes a lot of money. That's never been what he's motivated by. So why would we expect that it's the only thing he's going to be motivated by in this contract negotiation?
Well, I know where you're headed on this, and you know, before we get there, about surrounding himself with weapons and the other things that they need to do. But
no, dig in, man.
TB12 inclusion, you know, things that are, you know, might be negotiated into it. My question is, what about length of contract? Is 1 year going to do it for him? Because that's a game changer in my view.
It might, but it again would be about, okay, it's not just about the money or the contract for him. It's about other things, which has sort of always been the case with Tom Brady. That part would be consistent with what he's been in his career. Would be more consistent with, I've taken less. I've wanted the team to be good. I've never demanded top dollar of you. Even though he wants more money, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's being different than he was before. But I hadn't really thought of that until the last couple of days.
But it is a part of it. Now, you had a player by the name of Ndamukong Suh, played for Detroit, got paid a lot of money. The one thing that's always important to that player is being the highest paid at that position. And that guy would jump from team to team. I remember coming out when free agency started, guys wanted the top dollar. They didn't care what the system was, what team they were going to. And I think there's a lot of guys like that. Mario Williams goes to Buffalo. They never let him leave because he signed today because they gave him $60 million guaranteed. He wasn't a good fit for the scheme they ran. Right. And he faded away. Jadeveon Clowney was like that too.
Right.
Like, at some point, I think when you become a veteran and you get a lot of money, you know you're going to get paid. Money's a big part to Brady. So you look at that pie, what is it? Right, 70%. 70% is from an importance factor, the money.
Well, that would be a change, though, because he's not been motivated by money in his career.
I'm not saying not motivated, but I'm not 100%. Like, most guys, 100%, I'm out of here, man. I'm going to go get paid. You know? Brady's not like that. Yeah, but what percentage is, you know, should be compensated more.
And so you would agree if I said, well, Belichick would be in on 1 year, but is not in on multi-years.
Well, you said that's the game changer. Game changer for you, or you think what the team is thinking?
I believe for Belichick it is.
They said I think they'll do two. I think they would do two.
I think they're at a point now where they have to do two.
If they went to him today and said, Tom, we're going to give you 2 years, $25 million, it's a $50 million deal, and Bill Belichick shows up at his front door, wherever he's living, New York, Greenwich, Brookline, wherever the hell he is.
Vegas.
He shows up and he says, Tom, we got a window here. We want to maximize it. I want to win with you again. You're so important to what we do. But I'm going to give you two of 25, and here's what we're going to do to put guys around you. This is our plan. What do you think? I think Brady would sign at a lower number if they would do that.
Now,
I think you do it at 25 as opposed to 30 or 32 or 33. I think there is a path to getting him on another bargain deal. I say bargain as a relative term in the NFL, not in real life. But a bargain NFL quarterback, top quarterback deal, if they do those other things. He might be giving them right now the roadmap to keep doing what they've always done.
But so, do you think Bill Belichick wants to commit 2 years to a 43-year-old quarterback?
I think they're past it at this point. Yeah, I think going into last year, they understood we're on a year-to-year basis because of the way Brady bargained out of that deal. And he didn't want to be franchise tagged. See, franchise tagged, you know, he doesn't want them to have that control. So now, okay, we're past that. So now what we also need to do is hide $14 million. We can't do that in 1 year. And that's the key to here, Beetle. We're coming to you with 25 per guaranteed. So we'll do 2 for $50 guaranteed. And that cap hit will put your number north of 30 per year. You spread out that $14 million over 2 years. You're at $32 million a year with you, even though that's that money.
See,
you already got that money.
Right. We've been looking at this from the lens of Tom Brady. What's Brady going to do? What does Brady want to do? And varying degrees of, well, maybe he knows, but he hasn't made his decision. The same holds true for the Patriots, and they have to think about this in terms of, okay, if that conversation were to take place, if Bill Belichick were to sit down and say, let's leave Don Yee and the Krafts out of this, let's you and I talk about this and come to an understanding, like you said, 25 for this year and for next year, they're going to have to commit resources this year and next year in order to get Brady some help around him offensively and probably deplete the defense, which leads them in the same position 2 years from now with no quarterback. They can't really even afford to draft somebody like third or fourth round, which would be a stretch to think that guy is going to take over for Brady 3 years from now. You won't even be able to do that. So if they're thinking that far ahead and Belichick's thinking that far ahead, it's a really difficult decision to make. Like, okay, we've solved the quarterback issue for 2 years. It's not perfect. I don't necessarily want a 43-year-old quarterback. That, then what? Because you're going to have to dedicate everything else you've got to putting stuff around him to not just make up for last year, but to make it a more workable and viable offense.
Well, I don't
which
think
you
you're
going to have.
I don't think you're going to do that through the draft, though.
Do what through the draft? Find a quarterback?
Put the tools around Brady through the draft.
But you can package up draft picks and make trades.
You can. That's a good point. I mean, if you're going to use those
any
picks
resources
to go make it,
that you have right now,
when I hear
are not
going
to are
like
not
going
to. All I'm saying is, any resources they have right now, if they keep Brady, are not going to be used toward finding the next quarterback.
But I don't think they have to use every draft pick they have to dedicate it to the rebuild or the not rebuild. That's too strong of a word. Toward putting more players on the roster around Brady. I think that March is going to be a very important time for them to go out into free agency and see what they can do there. And I don't rule out the trade prospects, but I also know you're not going to be left with no picks. You've got to use a higher pick on going after a quarterback. That's what I think. That's in, you know, who that guy is. I don't have the answer to that yet. But sometime in the next 2 years, you're going to have to do it. Mm. At some point, you just have to go all in on somebody. And I know that's not their preferred method of doing it, but sometimes you got to be like everybody else at some point. It's just the way it goes. 617-779-0985. Ken Starr referenced the New England Patriots yesterday.
Everybody's a wise guy.
In the impeachment trial of Donald Trump. That happened. He referenced Deflategate. You will hear it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's, he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Authentic. Authenticity. And at the foundation of those authentic forms of justice is fundamental fairness. It's playing by the rules. It's why we don't allow deflated footballs or stealing signs from the field. Rules are rules. They are to be followed. And so I submit that a key question to be asked as you begin your deliberations: were the rules here faithfully followed? If not, if that is your judgment, then with all due respect, the prosecutors should not be rewarded, just as federal prosecutors are not rewarded. You didn't follow the rules. You should have.
That would be Ken Starr, member of the counsel for President Donald Trump and his impeachment trial. During closing arguments on Monday, he's got something on Deflategate there. That's why you
deflated footballs, huh?
Can't deflate the footballs and get away with it.
Or steal signs.
Steal signs.
Or steal signs like the Astros or the Red Sox.
At least he's into sports. At least Ken's in sports.
Yeah. He was at Baylor.
Yeah. How about that? Deflategate makes it. Makes it to the House.
Yep. Still
Deflategate makes it to the House in the middle of an impeachment hearing.
He's still pissed Brady didn't show up.
How about that? Yesterday, that's part of your political update. The other part is the Iowa caucuses today.
Oh, my God.
When are the results coming out?
Today, they said.
Could they just have an election already?
Wouldn't 6
p.m.? 4 p.m. Central. So 5 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. But, 5 p.m. Eastern.
But there was an update. About 50% of the precincts will be released at 4 p.m.
Oh. They only have half the results? They only have half of them?
I'm just going off of tweets, but yeah.
What a bunch of clowns.
Who should be the most nervous?
There is a positive coming out of this. The positive is that this should mark the end of the Iowa caucus. This should be the end. Yeah. Enough of this nonsense. It's the most useless process.
Watching the TV guys try and explain it.
It is not only an exclusionary process, because who the hell has time if you go to work every day, right? Like, if you're someone who has a job that maybe you work a physical demanding job every day and, you know, you're out there 8, 10 hours, 11 hours sometimes working hard, and then you get home at night and then you're supposed to go down to the high school gym and sit around for 3.5 hours and then go to bed late and then get up and do your actual work again the night. Like, this doesn't benefit anybody. This is moronic. What a horrible system. It's amazing that in the year 2020, this thing still exists. Oh, it's stupid. Get rid of that stupid thing. And it's so stupid, they can't even figure out what the results were.
It's not their fault. It was the app. They had an app that was very difficult to
coding
to download.
With no backup plan. The way they used to do it, which was call on the phone and tell us what happened.
Did you have a wonky app? It happens. You got a bad app. Couldn't count the votes.
You know what things don't align? Apps and technology and a caucus. Those are like on two complete opposite ends of the spectrum. Old, inefficient, largely useless, and apps and technology. Yeah. Right? I mean, those are like one model is efficient.
Oil
How do
water.
We do things faster?
Oil and water.
Better, more accurate. And the other thing is, what the hell are we doing? Wait, where am I supposed to stand? I'm a Biden guy.
Which corner
of this high school gym do I go to?
Under hoop number 4.
Oh wait. My guy didn't make it. So now I got like the Bernie people and the Elizabeth Warren people yelling at me to go stand in their corners of the gym. What is this?
That's a caucus.
Get rid of this stupid thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I got my next door neighbor over here screaming caucus at me that if I don't go support Yang, he's never going to talk to me again.
It's fun to say.
Like, what is this?
Caucus. Just say it. Make you want to do it.
This would never happen with the BBWAA.
Caucus. This is insane.
Fill out your ballot.
The BBWAA has a more efficient voting process than the state of Iowa for the next nominee.
That's all
for
you need
U.S.
to know.
President of the Democratic Party. What?
Whichever the five or six, whoever's going to get their ass kicked here when these results come out, they're not going to buy it. They're going to bitch and they're going to say, "I want to recount."
The pro football writers who sit around the nights at the round table,
caucusing,
bitching and moaning at each other about who should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, more efficient than Iowa.
Bare knuckle brawling.
Yes.
Yes.
Ron Borges in there making his case for Seymour the other day, while also making a crack about Bill Belichick. Not sure if everyone caught that.
He can't help himself.
He was doing a better job than anybody in Iowa last night. Borges beat Iowa.
BBWAA beat Iowa.
All of them.
Is this heaven? It's Iowa.
That's it. Iowa. You're done. You're out. You don't get this anymore.
I wonder if Bob Feller ever voted.
Nonsense. Congress. Absolute nonsense. I saw one part last night where they were reporting from a high school gym.
Oh, yeah.
Because the theater of it is great.
All high school gyms.
And a guy goes, well, we also have like the 17% undecided party, but we need to make a clarification about this. That 17% is actually the Cory Booker group. Wait, what? Cory Booker's out. Cory Booker already told you he quit. Oh, that's a Cory Booker group, though. They're doing Cory Booker group in protest. What? What do you mean? No, that's not an option.
Look at the screen. They're caucusing. This is what it looks like. Have you ever seen a caucus in action?
I've seen a caucus in action.
Look at that.
Yeah. Sanders. Stupid.
Where's Sanders over here?
That says everything.
Viable.
Hey, is this heaven? This is Iowa.
Yeah. Per CNN now, the Biden campaign is reportedly seeking a court injunction to not allow them to release partial results this afternoon.
Did you guys all vote for Jeter?
Wait, who was the guy who didn't vote for Jeter?
No one knows. Now, in fairness to my brethren.
Who do you think it is?
I don't know.
You wouldn't say that.
I mean,
do you have suspicions? They narrowed it down to 83 guys, is it, Hardy?
Because there's a box on the old BBWAA ballot.
We know. Yeah, you can make it public. But 83 made it public.
397 ballots, and we know 396 had Jeter.
Right.
And we know who all the voters are.
80% of the voters disclosed their ballots.
315 were officially made public today. Yep. Most of those people make them public.
Already have.
Social media or whatever, or they write in a column somewhere. But now we know. The 315, here's what they are, which leaves 82?
82 suspects. Now, in fairness to our organization, we did vote to disclose all the ballots. And we put that before the Hall of Fame, and they said no.
So why did the Hall of Fame say no?
Because the Hall of Fame thought it would be intimidating to some of the voters to have their votes public. They didn't want them to come under the
You really don't know what you want is the problem. We'll decide what you want. We're going to ask you.
Right.
Go ahead. Talk amongst yourselves. It's very cute of you, Dan, and the rest of you BBWAA guys. But when it comes down to it, no.
The Hall of Fame said, nope, we're not doing it.
We're
overruling your wishes. And again, the Hall of Fame also provides no guidance on steroids, betting, character, all that stuff. It's like, you guys, we're not doing this in baseball, but you guys need to do it with your vote.
Today is February 4th, and it is a stacked day.
Beely, you're excited about
Dan's dates. We are locked and loaded on Dan's dates. They're coming your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
Dapper Dan.
Okay, let's get right to it. February 4th, it's Dan's dates.
I'm anxious to hear what you have to say about this. You love this day. Yes, Feb 4, birthdays today. How old do you guys think Dan Quayle is? He was referenced earlier in the program.
72.
73.
Oh. Nice job, Shardy.
Shardy.
Now he's Shardy.
Nice job, Hardy.
He was about to say Chardy.
Alice Cooper is 72 today.
Beat my Frankenstein.
What's the backstory in Alice Cooper?
I don't know. Original.
He bit the head off a bat. Ozzy did that.
Okay. Horror golf rocker guy. Good golfer.
Okay. All right. Bill Belichick's favorite player is 61 years old today.
Teddy Bruschi.
So?
Did we see him down
Jim Brown?
Super Bowl?
Jim
Brown. Nope.
Jim Brown.
Lawrence Taylor.
Thank you. Lawrence Taylor. 61 years old.
Favorite player that he coached.
Oh. Yep.
Okay.
Oscar De La Hoya is 47 today.
Oscar De La Renta. Very nice perfume.
Stuff that happened on Feb 4. I know Beatles excited to get to these. 1783, Britain's King George III proclaimed a formal cessation of hostilities, ending the Revolutionary War. 1789, George Washington elected first president of the United States.
Sort of a big one.
There was no ambiguity about the caucuses on that day.
Nope. Yeah, we didn't all sit in the high school gym and figure that out.
It was the same ballot that they have for the BBWAA. You just put the big X on there, and that was it.
It's a dollar bill.
You didn't have to disclose nothing. Just George Washington. That's my guy. 1861, delegates from 6 southern states seceded from the Union. They met in Montgomery to form the Confederate States of America.
Yeah, that also led to a pretty major
big event.
Major big event in the history of the country. Yeah.
1938, Thornton Wilder's play Our Town opened on Broadway. Still, every high school. Anybody go to a high school that did not have Our Town at one time or another? As a play?
I have no idea.
It's the standard. On this date,
I don't think so.
1945, the summit at Yalta. Winston Churchill, Joseph Stalin, Franklin Roosevelt. 1945 at Yalta. Very big event. World history.
FDR, huh?
On this date, in 1997, a civil jury in Santa Monica, California, found O.J. Simpson liable for the deaths of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman.
It's a good one.
On this date in 2004, gay marriage came to Massachusetts, the high court. Also, the beginning of the Facebook or the Face Mash over at Harvard.
I'm sorry? The Face... What?
He had names for it. Face Mash. the Facebook. Mark right. Zuckerberg.
It was the Facebook, I remember.
But it was...
There was a word mash in there somewhere.
Yeah, there was originally, I don't know, from just watching The Social Network.
I love Face that
Mash
movie.
Was,
it's a good movie.
Yeah. Was the thing that he kind of started there. And then the Winklevi. I never understood, like, their big breakthrough moment is like, a harvard.edu address. Yes, that makes it different. But the thing that made Facebook big was the fact that anybody could have it. So
I would disagree. As someone who was in college when it debuted, it was when it hit your school. It was a big deal. They
yeah,
added
but that
schools
was,
as they went.
Yeah,
but that was like the infancy of it. Facebook didn't become huge until it was outside of colleges.
Maybe not with right. You old guys.
What year did you get it?
2004, 2000, or probably early 2005.
Okay, I think probably, I had it.
Let me think. No, I was still living in the dorms, so it had to have been... Yeah, it would have been early 2004, late 2004.
Well, Beatle,
late 2004, early 2005.
I have a 35-year-old daughter who was a freshman at Harvard when he was a junior or senior, whatever his last year was. So
okay.
She was one of the originals of whatever they called it then, because it was just an on-campus thing.
It was soon thereafter that they started expanding their schools.
On this date in 2015, the Boston was digging out from 3 feet of snow. 5 years ago.
Oh.
It was. I know we're knocking on wood with so far this winter, but... It didn't come until late in 15.
And it was Zoe didn't make third. It back for two more days.
No. And that was the day of the Patriots parade.
Spend
the
day at the pool.
In 15.
Yeah, that was...
15.
Well, I didn't want to fly in a storm.
That was a great move. Yeah, my streets still hadn't been plowed, but they managed to clear all the streets downtown and the sidewalks so that they could have a parade.
Well,
Pats!
a couple of years earlier, 2010, Scott Brown took over the seat of Edward Kennedy, who had been in that seat for a long time. He was sworn in by Joe Biden. At the Capitol Hill ceremony. Kind of a tough one. On this date in 2018, Nick Foles led the Philadelphia Eagles to a victory over the New England Patriots, 41-33. That was, at the time, the widest margin of any Patriots Super Bowl of the Belichick-Brady era. They were all 6 points or less until 2018.
And then Clement moves behind Foles in the pistol. Fourth and goal from
direct
the
snap,
one. Foles moves down the line. It's a direct snap to Clement. And then he tosses it to Bergen, who looks to throw. He flips it to Foles in the right side of the end zone for a touchdown. And the Eagles with a trick play.
Oh, my.
And a touchdown with 34 seconds left in the opening half.
And they have a
Philly.
They have a statue because of that play, right?
No, Rocky's got a statue.
I think it was temporary.
Oh, really?
The one that you're not that you're thinking of was a temporary statue.
My personal favorite from this day is 1974. Patty Hearst was kidnapped in Berkeley, California by
I knew you were going to be all over that one.
Symbiotic Liberation Army.
You love that, don't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, because it had so many tentacles, you know, with Bill Walton, you know, was harboring her as a fugitive, we think, you know.
Yep.
Jack Scott, the nefarious trainer.
And then she participated in a bank robbery, right?
The picture of her, what was her name? They had a nickname for her. Now, they all got names. And she's holding a rifle.
Moose lips?
A bank holdup. out there. And then she ended up marrying her bodyguard. And she's living a relatively normal life now for an heiress billionaire who was kidnapped by the Symbionese Liberation Army. Otherwise, it's a fairly normal life. There's been books and all kinds of stuff. Jeffrey Toobin wrote a book on Patty Hearst. The Celtics used to tease Walton about that when he first came here. Hey, what'd you know about Patty Hearst? You're hiding her.
Oh, so Beetle? Tanya.
Tanya, thank you. Yeah, I knew she had a good name.
There you go.
Tanya, there you go. Beetle, that's... Now, I emptied the vault here, but did you have
no,
more?
No, you had quite a few, many of which we had on the secondary list in case we needed it.
Okay.
Rosa Parks, born on this day, 1913.
Yeah, I should have had that.
1922, Lincoln purchased Ford Motor Company for $8 million. And then, because of that, Henry Ford became the president of Lincoln.
Did not know that.
Ford didn't really go anywhere, though. I mean...
No.
Ford and Lincoln all into
Speaking
the Ford.
Of Ford
and Lincoln was killed at Ford Theater.
Oh, boom.
Whoa. And Ford,
I
speaking
like
of
that.
Ford, the Ford Museum, I think they had the bus Rosa Parks was in.
That's true.
Yeah.
They do.
A red and white
That's
bus.
Where it is. Those and two things are connected in a way.
Rosa Parks Boulevard right off of, is it I-94? It's outside of Detroit. It's down by the old Tiger Stadium, Rosa Parks Boulevard.
Oh, yeah.
Skybar.
Yeah. Sports-related stuff. The first Winter Olympics ever to be held in the United States began on this day, 1932, Lake Placid. First Winter Olympics in the U.S.
Nice.
And another sports one. More recently, Dan, I don't know if you were there that night, but I assume you were. 1993, February 4th, 1993, Larry Bird, in a very lengthy ceremony at the Old Garden,
I was there.
Had his number retired.
Yeah, magic.
Looking out here tonight and seeing all these people in here makes you feel like you're on top of the world. See, I'm a proud individual anyway, but I'm also proud to be playing for the best organization that has ever assembled. And thank you, Red Auerbach. Thank you so much. So, I say good night, Boston, and may God bless each and every one of you. Good night.
That's what they ended with musically?
Yeah, John Cougar Mellencamp.
Small Town.
Small Town. Right.
I think he says Small Town 22 times in that song. Check it out sometime.
Bird was all right.
Oh, yeah, we will.
I think.
We'll do that in the 1 o'clock hour after you leave.
Okay, that's it for overtime. Bye.
Oh, we have one more.
Oh yeah.
One more.
Did you get along with Bird, by the way?
4 years ago.
We had our ups and downs. It got better as we got older. There was one year he didn't talk to me at all.
What'd you do?
I wrote about his barroom fight at Chelsea's during the 85 conference semifinals.
Well, he wanted that to be off limits.
It messed up his hand, and he shot poorly in the finals. Cost him a flag.
All right. 4 years ago at the stroke of midnight, and I've been to many, 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 many Super Bowl parties. But the greatest Super Bowl party ever, and they have corrected it. It was 4 years ago at the stroke of midnight, the Barstool party, the launch party. It's been toned down since that. We were there live, got to see Ja Rule.
Ever loved you later.
Every 3 years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, right?
3 years ago, Houston. It was Houston, Jim.
The Every Thug Needs a Lady. Every time I hear that song, is Every Thug Needs a Lady. I think it's O. Every time I hear that song.
Okay, I have to go now.
All right, see you, Dan.
Bye.
For overtime. That was only 3 years ago, huh?
3 years ago.
One of your Houston parties will be with Dave Portnoy. You're going to be at his party?
Friday night.
With Ja Rule.
I'm a lady.
Atlanta was one. Minnesota with two. Yeah. 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Huh.
Now they sold it to the company, and now the company runs it.
And do that again. I gotta hear that again. It's better when you didn't know what it was.
I'm a lady.
I mean, I could pick up the tune. Words I struggle with at times.
No, you do.
Yeah.
And I'm a little lady.
Remember, it kept going down like 10, 9, 8. And
it was like 3 a.m. before he got out there.
He wasn't ready yet. Then Portnoy still kept going up.
No, we didn't get why they were counting down. And then we realized that they did the Saturdays for the boys at midnight.
Right.
That was the whole deal.
Yeah, it's for the boys.
Yeah, we were there before midnight. Mm. Yeah, it was a good
time.
And
after midnight.
We had a great time. Thank you, Barstool. An hell of a time. Thank you for having us.
Tony Romo's in line. What should we do? Let him stand there.
Zoe got me up to the VIP thing. I didn't drink the rest of the night because I was afraid I wasn't going to get back into the VIP area. I just sat there the whole night.
Jim just sits there and doesn't say anything. Won't drink because he doesn't want to lose a spot.
So you drank. I just didn't want to leave.
You couldn't
go to the
get
bar.
Booze in the VIP area.
Oh yeah, no.
I just
you
remember
leave.
Being at the
you
back.
You gotta get your booze. It was just open bar. People just grabbing bottles.
I just remember being at the back of that and saying to people, "That's not a wall. There's a giant curtain."
Oh,
and people would be like. Go to push against it. They go to push against it or
five
like
feet down.
To climb over people. They're like, I'll just go on top of the guy. I'm like, that's not a wall. That's not
Bortles.
A wall.
Bortles fell on my wife and my sister, and
that's
a goff was hitting on my sister.
That's not a wall.
I think, look at you, little baby face kids.
You'll go right through it.
Yeah.
All right. 1 o'clock hour is here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.